Hi, you are on Live Blog Talk Radio with Sue Dockerill, hosting today's show. I'm so glad that you could join us. I am excited to announce our guest, Marlene Cover. She is an amazing guru on the planet of creating paradigms in the way we see things. And today, as you're listening to our show, I want you to just be kind of thinking about your own personal life, of what's going on, and what in your life could you change the way you think about it that would create a paradigm that would have your life go the way you want it to go instead of the way it's always gone in the past. So I am extremely excited to have our guest with us today. And just to give you a little bit of background, we're kind of excited to kick off May 7th is a very exciting time, and I want to get Marlene on the call to share with us, you know, what she's up to, because she's up to some really big stuff as far as creating a global awareness of people thinking differently and very actively involved in how we teach our children life skills. In fact, you know, if we take the good and bad out and realize that the only thing that's missing in any of our lives when we don't respond the way that gets us the results we want. Some people have called that misbehavior. And, you know, clearly in the programs that I've been teaching over the years, what I can tell you is that it's not just about the misbehavior. Misbehavior is something that happens, you know, out of not getting our needs met. And human beings need to feel loved and valued and powerful and belonging. Well, Marlene is going to come on the show and give us a little different twist to the word misbehavior. And in fact, it's so motivating and inspiring that it could absolutely be applied to any area of your life. So as you're listening to the show, I want you to think, you know, maybe you haven't felt the results that you want in your life in some area. Or maybe you have a spouse that hasn't been making you feel loved or valued. And the way they're showing up, it seems like it's making the situation worse rather than better. What if I could give you some tools today to teach you how to shift from seeing a situation where somebody is misbehaving to actually somebody is calling for love. And instead of seeing them as being bad, you actually recreate how you think about it. For example, one of the things that Marlene had shared with me previously as we're waiting for her to come on the call is that, you know, if you take a look at a third grader who knows their multiplication facts, and you take a look at a high school kid that had just completed a calculus class, well, clearly their skill set is very different. And, you know, would we punish a third grader for knowing their multiplication facts and not knowing calculus? And what Marlene explained to me is that we do that every day with children. You know, we expect, you know, a two-year-old to share when a two-year-old really doesn't have the skill set. And what's missing is, you know, the developmental stage of learning. And a lot of times, you know, the optimal moment to learn something is when we make a mistake. But what happens if a child chooses at 2 years old not to share something and then the parent shame or make the child feel guilty?
When that happens, you could see where that could create a problem. So what I want to give you are some redirecting tools that we can apply right now on this show to any area of your life. So can you think of a situation in your own life
where something didn't go the way you wanted it to go?
And what if you could have it go the way you want it to go? So, you know, like, think in your own life. I know with me, it's kind of like my husband, you know, on any given day, things seem like they're going to be okay, but if I think that my husband is doing something and I make that mean that he doesn't love me, or that it, better yet, if he loved me, he would know how to do something, that sets us up for failure. Because as soon as you make someone's behavior mean, as soon as you shut upon someone, you're in trouble. And your expectations are high, and you end up not actually giving them what you could give them, which is understanding and compassion. And you can teach them how to treat you. What if the world could learn that there is nothing wrong, it's just that there's some skills missing? And I got to tell you, whoever gets the skills for being in a relationship, I don't know, I've never really seen in any of my schooling or education where I actually took a class on how to be in a relationship with someone. And, you know, let alone teach somebody to treat you. And so oftentimes we grow up with the fantasy that, you know, if the person loved me, they would just know. Well, many of you know that I'm in a divorce class, that I teach divorce classes, and
hi, I'm back live on Live Blog Talk Radio, Sue Dockrill, your host, and our guests she has arrived, Marlene. Welcome to Live Blog Talk Radio with Sue Dockrill.
Good morning, Sue. Good afternoon in your time. Delighted to join you.
Awesome. Well, I was, there's always a curve on technology. So I apologize for the pause there, but I'm glad you joined us today. And, you know, I am very excited to give our listeners a new perspective, a fresh perspective on life. And as you're listening out there, whatever is in your space and it's not going the way you'd like it to go, oftentimes it continues to go the way it's gone in the past, there needs to be a shift, or there could be a shift. And Marlene is with us today. She is committed to shifting the planet and giving us all a paradigm that we can look at any situation in our lives and shift it in a way that actually provides more power and more, you know, opportunities for us to really have a powerful impact, not only with each other, but, you know, from one country to the next and across the globe. So I am one of her ambassadors, and I am honored to be a part of her team that she's creating. Marlene, you want to just start out by introducing yourself and tell us a little bit about you and how you got into this place of being such a phenomenal leader?
You know, I walked in backwards, most assuredly. There's a wonderful quote by a woman named Arundhati Roy, and she says, "Sometimes you come upon a silent war, and once you have seen it, you cannot unsee it. And once you have seen it, doing nothing, remaining quiet, becomes as political an act as speaking out. Either way, you are accountable." My husband most assuredly was hoping that when I got to my 50s, I would learn to golf. It's his favorite sport. But I shared, I turned 50, and I shared a document that I created out of desperation, a communication tool, while raising my daughters. And it's called the Life Skills Report Card, and it facilitated my communication, proactive communication with them, about some really critical skills that I felt were not being respected sufficiently when competing with academic sports, et cetera. So, and it was in the process of sharing that that I discovered, wow, it wasn't just me that was challenged with the curriculum in place for these life skills. It was, in fact, a great many people around the globe. And then I also observed that one of the reasons, and this is really the silent war that I discovered, was one of the reasons we were all struggling is because it's assumed that parents will just naturally be terrific educators of these multiple skills, even though very few of us ever had formal education. So when I became aware of that, again, that's kind of, and there's a lot of suffering that accompanies trying to do something you've never learned and feeling shame. It's silly. It's absolutely silly to feel shame for not doing well at something you've never learned appropriately, and yet we do. So changing that, yes, became, you know, shining a bright light on what we call life skills, changing the paradigm for human development so that we get real about life skills in the 21st century and respect that they are really very complex. The prior paradigm was parents would teach life skills, but the reality is no parent is going to be an expert in the multiple life skills arenas that they are expected to master today and teach their children. So just getting real and supporting a new paradigm where we don't merely rely on parents, but we embrace multiple educators, such as yourself, is the new consciousness we endeavor to inspire.
Awesome. And so, you know, what do you see for the future? What is your vision or your legacy, or, you know, what would you see that, you know that is your purpose, that's kind of like driving you to want to get out in front and
keeps me awake in the middle of the night and working full time.
Yeah.
You know, it is really a new paradigm for human development in the 21st century, and specifically life skills. And let me clarify, there are multiple definitions for life skills circulating. Parenting 2.0, our group, which has over 6,000 members in 80 countries, we define life skills as the mandatory skills every human being learns in some measure to thrive and commune with others. When we are born, we arrive in our human bodies with a mandatory curriculum. We have an assignment before anybody else gives us one. And that assignment is to thrive. If we mess that up, we die. And to commune with others. Human beings need, they thrive in relationship, and we need it more. A baby can be fed and a baby can be clothed, but if it is not held, if it is not loved, they die of failure to thrive. So we need human connection as much, if actually more than, you know, equal to food and shelter and safety. So it's a basic need of being human. So what we advocate is, hey, there's these critical skills involved with the life skills, and the irony is these critical skills, interpersonal communication, personal care, they actually have the most impoverished educational process. We say, hey, whatever your parents know, that's what you're going to learn. Children learn what they live, as the famous poem goes. Well, that's only true because we are not doing anything more. As academic sports and music prove daily, children don't only learn what parents want them to learn, they learn what society believes warrants teaching them. So my goal is... Let's be more proactive in teaching human beings the skills we know they're going to need, such as interpersonal communication skills, for one.
Yeah, so we're kind of either growing or we're dying. You know, it's like there's a lot of thirsty people out there that, you know, it's kind of like we're not teaching people what to do or showing them a better way. We're still back in that old school of punishing and making people feel worse. You know, our prisons are a good example of that. It's like, I don't know, but, you know, you look at the big picture, and as long as we continue to send people to a place that actually makes you feel worse, you don't see the recidivism rate is not really working. You know, the system isn't working.
That's really the tip of the iceberg. I mean, the iceberg is just in our own families. The shame people feel, the suffering that's going on, the prison that we hold ourselves in, and we, beat ourselves up, criticize ourselves for simply learning. And when we think we're damaged goods, when we're not, when we merely have a low competency level, and this is what's really key, the absence of proactive education for life skills has resulted in crisis management dictating the educational process. And this results in many words coming into the educational process, such as wounded, damaged, unhealthy, victim, bully. These words are used as a whole person. So you'll say the wounded child, as if the entire person was wounded. The terminology we invite everyone to embrace is educational terminology to say this child has a low competency level in interpersonal communication. Quite candidly, the majority of human beings do, because the only ones we're formally educating are people responding to crises. So, you know, lawyers, social workers, doctors, psychologists, law enforcement, military, we're preparing those people, but we don't educate everybody in success. So, again, I would say, you know, our prisons, the most suffering, most assuredly, and yet that is the tip of the iceberg. We have divorce rates are at 60%, I think, right now in the United States. Great pain in our families, and we ought not feel shame about this pain. We want to say, hey, we've had a tough assignment for which we weren't adequately prepared. So let's start doing a better job preparing people.
Yeah. And, you know, I see that in my divorce class every month when I'm in front of 100 people getting divorced a month and seeing the looks on their faces of, you know, disappointment and also surprise when I actually start sharing with them some tools that would have helped them have that competency to work through some of their issues. And, you know, it's like they all say this class is too little too late. And even I just got a call from someone yesterday that said, you know, I wish this class had been mandatory before I filed, because she had a train wreck with an attorney. And it's just, you know, it's like we still keep putting that cart, you know, in front of the horse. But if we were to really embrace what Marlene is creating, is to really teach. And I like what you say, too, about how we have different experts. You know, like we're not all experts as parents. And
sometimes, you know, like we close our doors and pretend to be experts, and there's so much more to raising a child than, you know, getting them to go right, look right, be right. And, you know, so many parents come to me with, I'm already a good parent. I really don't need this class. But when I actually start teaching the communication skills and, you know, how to listen and how to have empathy and how to redirect the behavior, they all of a sudden start to grasp that, you know, wow, I grew up in a family that made me suffer in order to learn, and I can actually see why I'm making my husband or wife suffer. It's kind of learned behavior that you make the people you love feel worse. You know, it's kind of ingrained into how we were raised. And, you know, it's really exciting to be a part of raising the consciousness on this planet.
Yes, and I'm so glad you wrapped that you just said that statement, Susan, because this is the thing. We do not presently have proactive education, and there are many individuals, such as the ones in your class, that say, gee, I wish I'd known this when. Those individuals have the opportunity, because they have experienced both sides, to literally be the change. When we are content with the status quo, we are not very likely to do something different or to inspire a change that's an improvement over what currently exists. So the good news about those of us who did not thrive under the existing paradigm, simply learning from skills, the skills our parents had, and then repeating those low competencies, we were inspired to do something a little different. I created the Life Skills Report Card. So these individuals in your classes, they really are pioneers. They have a keen awareness of before and after. And they're the ones that will, in fact, be the change and reduce the suffering and raise the joy for millions of people. And you are just a wonderful example yourself of someone doing precisely that.
Well, I would really like to put that Life Skill Report Card on my website at lifeworksparentingtools.com. And Marlene, is there any, you know, you also have a book that you wrote. Can you tell us a little bit about the book and where people might, you know, how it might help them to understand this a little bit more?
Yes, the book is called Kissing the Mirror, Raising Humanity in the 21st Century. It is a Amazon bestseller, so just going to Amazon, the Kindle version or the electronic version is just a few dollars. It's very, really reasonable. And it's a super easy-to-read book. It's void of research and statistics and everything. It's just a very personal story of how I personally crashed, was inspired to create the Life Skills Report Card, and it just really elementary level. So they're just very personal stories. It's a short book. If people like short, easy reads that inspire about what they're doing, I think that's why it's popular, is it, you know, it just says, hey, of course you're not an expert in these arenas. You never learn them. So, and don't aspire to be an expert in all these arenas. Life skills are too complex in the 21st century. If we take digital safety alone, digital safety did not exist, technology did not exist when we were children. And yet people are constantly saying, well, parents need to teach their children. Well, this communicates a gross ignorance of the complexity of life skills in the 21st century. Things have changed, and we need to change the way we look at and teach life skills.
Yeah, and what can people do right now, like today? What would you say that to our listeners that they could do right now where they could actually feel the benefit of making this shift?
The first two words I want to give everybody as a present is to radically embrace the terms I'm learning. So often we're doing something such as you today. I was first-time guest on your show. We had a tech problem. Well, the first thing I said to myself is, I'm learning. I'm learning, you know, connecting with Susan. So that is very freeing, and I'm learning now because I didn't have my phone off. So those two words. And rather than, because we often criticize ourselves, don't we? We didn't, you know, maybe we didn't get somewhere on time or we didn't do whatever. then we criticize ourselves. Don't criticize yourself for learning. Applaud yourself. You know, I often say if you're not messing something up, you're probably not doing anything terribly new or interesting. So if you're a parent, if you're a parent, I guarantee you, you are doing something incredibly new, incredibly interesting. If you are married, if you are divorced and figuring out a relationship with your ex, you are doing something incredibly new and interesting. So give yourself room and applause to learn. Just embrace those two words, I am learning. Gift yourself that. Just get really in the habit of saying it multiple times a day, and you'll find yourself saying it to others too. When others say, gee, I really screwed that up, or I'm so mad at myself, you'll say to them, hey, guess what? You're learning. Good on you. You know, good for you. Learning. That's important. That's great. Failure is an absolutely normal part of every learning curve. And yet with life skills, we don't allow it. We do what you were mentioning previously. We give dictates and punishments. We say you are either behaving or misbehaving and ill-intending. Mm-hmm. That terminology has to go. We must respect one another as learning. When we know better, we will do better. So let's support one another and encourage one another in learning rather than disparaging one another.
Yeah, in my Redirecting Children's Behavior program that I teach parents, the courage to be imperfect. I mean, it's, you know, and then realizing that, you know, there is no perfect as far as, you know, everybody has something. And like, I love what you just said, that if you don't, you're probably playing at a very low level. I mean, because, you know, in order to get ahead, people do have to take risks and you do have to make mistakes. And, you know, in those mistakes are lots and lots of opportunities. And I often get parents to start getting excited about when their children make a choice that is going to, you know, maybe teach them a lesson. And it's not the choice the parents wants them to make, but they make the choice anyway. And rather than fight it, it's like, opportunity, and some days there's a lot of opportunities. But every time a child does choose something, it goes back to what you were saying earlier about the life skills. It's an opportunity to teach something that might be missing. And, you know, I really like to ask children how they feel. I like to ask them, you know, what they want and what are you willing to do? And it gives kids an opportunity to really focus on something that they want more of in their life instead of what they did wrong.
Yes, and you know, we do it all the time with academics and music. We do this regularly. We respect that a child's going to learn, they're going to err. We don't shame them, we encourage them. When our baby's learning to walk, we put our arms out wide. We don't say, oh, shame on you, you fell down. We put our arms out wide and we say, oh, that's so great. We encourage them in their learning. This is almost completely absent when it comes to life skills.
Yes.
When children punch one another. You know,
right.
Somebody wrote this, shared something on Facebook.
Yeah.
I didn't bite or hit anybody today. Today was a good day. I didn't bite, you know, Nathaniel, age 4. Nathaniel is learning interpersonal communication skills. He's learning intimacy skills. He's learning friendship skills. And so we need to transition and respect that learning curve also benefits from affirmation, encouragement, patience with the learning curve, and completely away from dictates and punishments. They have no place in the
world. And lots of times we have to take a, you know, you just have to take a guess at it. You know, a lot of times little kids, they don't know what they want. Or, you know, if you ask them, why did that happen? They'll say, I don't know. And it's true. They don't know. I'm a life coach. I've got adults that don't know what they want. You know, so it's something you got to explore with children. And, you know, make a guess at it. If they're pulling the dog's tail, it's like, you know, could it be you're trying to be the boss? And then, you know, clearly show them that, you know, pulling a tail is hurtful. What else can you do? And it's like, oh, yeah, let's see. You could teach him a trick or you could get the dog brush out and brush the dog. And, you know, it's just so much more fun than than to parent that way, because they actually get excited about doing something fun and something that's helpful rather than hurtful. But so many parents get stuck in that don't hit the dog. And you know, if you hit the dog, you know, you're going to have to go to your room. And it's just, you know, it's hard.
That's what we were told. So we have a low competency level ourselves, and this is why we approach the task. We teach low competency. We ourselves have low competency, so we teach it. And that's a great example. You know, behind every human action is an honorable intention, and it's so critical.